I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
And Christopher Gardner joins us now, professor of medicine and nutrition scientist at Stanford University. What we were just talking about with Mardi Gras probably makes as much sense to him as what we're going to talk about with oils makes to me right now. But we'll sort it out. How you doing, Professor?
Hey, good morning from California. It's still early here, but how's Nola doing?
Good. We appreciate you getting up. Have you been to Mardi Gras or not?
Not to Mardi Gras, but there's a lot of conferences held in Nola. I go at least every other year for the last couple decades.
Thank you for doing that. We appreciate your business. Let's talk about this whole conversation with seed oils. I know you are a professor of medicine and nutrition, so maybe we can talk about, in general, what's good for you, what's bad for you. I know I've lost some weight as of late, and I've taken to reading packages, and my main thing is sugar and added sugar. The rest of it, I couldn't even begin to pronounce the stuff, let alone understand. So let's start there, Professor. Let's start with a doctor. Let's start with if we're going to try to evaluate what we eat, what's good, what's bad. How do you even go about that and understanding what's on the labels, what matters, what doesn't?
Yep, it's great. I'm glad you're reading labels. To be honest, the best food has no label. Bell peppers have no label. Broccoli has no label.
Oranges.
You know, if you were just going to buy some eggs, they don't. Well, I guess eggs probably have a label. But, yeah, a lot of this stuff.
Problem is getting the chicken to attach them. I'm sorry, doctor. I couldn't resist that.
Yeah.
With the eggs. That's my problem. But go ahead.
No worries. So this seed oil thing is really bizarre, Tommy. I'm happy to talk about it. Can we just start out?
And absolutely.
It shouldn't even be an issue, and this is probably my 25th interview on seed oils, which is pretty funny. Should we start and just describe
What is a seed oil? Because I don't know what that is.
Yeah, no problem. So you certainly have probably had sesame seed oil on some kind of dish. Olive oil is not a seed oil because they just squeeze the olives and it doesn't come out of the seed. It sort of comes out of the flesh of the olive. Mm-hmm. So there's a special set of the seed oils that for some reason has attracted attention. If any of your listeners are social media followers, a bunch of social influencers have called out the Hateful Eight. Okay, so maybe this is a step beyond where you want to go. But
no, I want to talk. We got an hour for this. I want people to understand. We try to educate. What we do, Doc, is more of a podcast than a traditional talk show because we like to go into detail on stuff and people to learn stuff. So let's start with the Hateful Eight.
Yeah, okay. So the Hateful Eight, the ones that you would recognize are corn oil, which is a little funny because corn technically isn't a seed. To be honest, corn could be a grain or a vegetable, or let's see, there's one other thing it can be, but it's actually not a seed. But a lot of people have probably bought corn oil at one point or another in their life or seen sunflower or safflower oil on the shelf.
Are those the same or two different ones? Sunflower and safflower are two different, okay.
Yeah, those are different. So I'm sure people have seen a sunflower grow. I bet you they haven't seen a safflower. Some other ones would include rice bran oil, which is a little weird because rice isn't a seed, it's a grain. Another one is soybean oil, which also isn't a seed. Soybeans are beans. Another one is cottonseed oil. So you don't eat cotton. That one's a little weird, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So anyway, a lot of the food industry uses cottonseed oil. I'm trying to think, how many did I name already? I'm not sure if that's all.
Canola? Did you get to canola?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And canola is a really odd outlier, as you'll see in just a minute. Yes, canola oil is in there, too, and there's a lot of
rapeseed, whatever
that is. Oh, good. Oh, you have the list in front of you. Yeah. Thanks for reminding me.
No, I just remembered. I kind of have a list in front of me. I just remembered this. Come on.
This is awesome. Oh, Tommy, I'm totally impressed.
And
you're pulling all these off.
Grape seed, which makes me wonder about grape nuts, because I never did quite understand what that is that you buy in a cereal box. Grape seed, that's from the seeds of grapes?
Yeah, and it's not. That's funny that you're calling me out on that, because grape seed I don't know that much about. But let's go back to canola, which is also called rape seed oil.
Okay.
So sometimes people get grape seed and rape seed oil confused. And then just for fun for your listeners, because this might be a little fun fact, canola oil is the same as rape seed oil. So if you look, sometimes you'll see these fields of yellow flowers. That's really the rape seed. And historically, people found out you could get some oil out of the seeds from this thing, but it had something called erucic acid, which tasted horrible. And somebody figured out a way to make a GMO, a genetically modified organism, rape seed oil that didn't have it. And it ends up being a prime oil out of Canada. And they were so proud of their genetically modified rape seed oil that didn't have the erucic acid and didn't have the awful taste that they called it Canadian oil. Canadian oil with linoleic acid. And if you put that all together, it ended up being canola. But it's really just
You have taught me some already. I always was under the impression, because for a while canola oil was being branded as a healthy way to eat, or something healthy, I guess. Now, I just presumed there was a canola plant. But I'll tell you this, from the marketing department, you definitely want to get away from rapeseed if you can, right?
No. So we'll get back to that. That's another sort of bizarre outlier in this whole Hateful Eight thing.
Okay.
So you between the two of us, we just named the eight.
Mm-hmm.
And a bizarre thing, since we have the 40 minutes or hour that you just said, let's just start at the one bizarre place for me, which is, of the Hateful Eight, three of them aren't seeds.
Right.
So then there's some confusion in going from seed oils.
Corn,
to the
rice,
Hateful Eight.
And soy.
And two,
right? Corn, rice, two and soy are not seeds.
Yeah, right. Okay. And then you are really following along. I'm totally impressed here.
I pay attention.
Think about sesame seed and flaxseed oil. So flax is a really hot item these days in the world of nutrition, partly because of omega-3 fats, which I'm going to get to again in a minute, unless I blow everybody's heads up. So two seed oils that aren't in the Hateful Eight, which is mostly seed oils, are sesame seed and flaxseed. So for some reason, nobody ever gives them a hard time. Everybody thinks, oh my God, the sesame seed oil, even toasted sesame seed oil, is used pretty often in healthy foods, and flaxseed oil. So, Tommy, one of the things I want to focus on for our hour today is, do you have this at home and do you cook with it, versus is this in industrially processed crappy foods that Americans buy a lot of? Because that's an important differentiator here.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen some restaurants say that they're going seed oil free. And so restaurants, you know, make fine food. There's restaurants and they cook with oils and they have them there. And then there's fast food restaurants that deep fry French fries. And that's a little different than restaurants that are cooking from scratch. So if you don't mind, those are all the things that we have to unpack. Seed oils, the Hateful Eight, cooking at home, cooking at restaurants, deep frying French fries, and a lot of the ultra-processed food out there that's crap. So
let me throw something else in the suitcase if I can, and that is when we hear about Wesson or whatever, or vegetable oil, that's different and distinct, or is that one of what we already mentioned?
No, that's in there. So those are often blends of oils. It might be a soybean and a corn oil.
Okay.
So picture this. Fat tastes good, and fat feels good in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
So when people are making ultra processed foods for us that are out there on the market that are inexpensive and convenient and sort of readily available for somebody on a budget, a lot of them have these Hateful Eight seed oils in them. And that's probably the biggest problem. We want to start with the problem is those foods that contain them. But Tommy, here's the big problem. Most of those foods are crap anyway. And so let's say you found some crappy cupcake, cookie, chip, candy, dessert, something that you weren't picking because it was a health food. You were picking because it was a treat. And you found out there was seed oil in it, and you were gassed, and you just closed your eyes and put your hands on your head and couldn't believe it had seed oil. And some food industry folks said, we realize you hate seed oils. We're going to take them out. We're going to put something else in instead. The thing they put in instead wouldn't probably make it a health food. And the choices here could be olive or avocado. Those seem to have a huge health halo over them, the olive oil and the avocado oil. But they're expensive. Mm-hmm. If you put those in, those foods are going to be a lot more expensive. Or coconut. Coconut oil tends to fall in the category of saturated fat, which we'll get back into right now by saying the other options are to put in butter or lard or beef tallow. Mm-hmm. And a fascinating thing with this 8-phthalate seed oil is there's a lot of folks who are using this, or a lot of these are the same folks who think saturated fat got a bad rap here. Saturated fat isn't that bad for you. And let's be super specific. So there's a fast food place called Steak Shack. And Steak Shack proudly announced about a month ago that it was sick and tired of deep frying its French fries in seed oil, and it was going to go back to deep frying them in beef tallow, which is how part of the reason McDonald's fries got famous decades and decades ago. They were deep frying their potato fries in beef tallow. And a big concern came up about the saturated fat in diets being bad for us. They said, oh my God, we're actually now going to stop deep frying our French fries in beef tallow, and we're going to switch to vegetable oil.
So now you're saying, and we got to take a break here, but now you're saying that they're going back to beef tallow, which is what they got away from originally under the auspices of getting away from seed oil?
From getting away from saturated fat.
Saturated fat.
Yeah. Yes. No. You're right. No, the beef tallow is saturated fat. They were trying to get away from the last two decades of deep frying in seed oil. And let's leave your listeners hanging there, and we'll come back.
Hi, it sounds great to me. We're talking about seed oil and a hateful eight and what's good for you and what's bad for you. Christopher Gardner's a guest professor of medicine, nutrition scientist at Stanford University. You got any questions, 504-260-1870. That's Oakwinard Jeweler Talk and Text Line. Do not ever text and drive, please. And we're going to talk about ultra-processed foods as well and what that is. Somebody texted in about that. I know we've had experts on already that talked about the way they manipulate ultra-processed foods with mouthfeel and texture and these different things to make you crave them and make you want them, even though the last thing in the world it is healthy for you. Back in a flash, WWL. Talking to Dr. Christopher Gardner, professor of medicine, nutrition scientist at Stanford University. Doctor, let me just recap this real quick. So McDonald's was frying their fries in beef tallow. In the 90s, they had some pushback.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Because they were saying this is not the healthiest thing in the world, so they went to a different kind of oil, a vegetable oil, a seed oil, if you will. So now RFK gets the internet going with seed oils are dangerous, the hateful eight, as you say. So Steak Shack says, guess what? We're going to make America healthy again. We're going to start frying our fries in beef tallow, which is what McDonald's originally got away from. Is that accurate?
That is good. And this is a great way to sort of wrap up this chapter and move on to the next part of the story. But I got to tell you, I am not going to die on this hill of French fries.
No.
So this... Yeah. The idea that we're suddenly going to make French fries healthy and a health food by not deep frying them in one oil and deep frying them in another is a little bit absurd.
Well, let me just add in, too, when you talk about sugar, if you think going to Steak and Shake or whatever the name of the place is, if you're going to get healthy food there, you're kidding yourself. Come on, Doc, right? Wake up.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So it's a little funny that this has become such a sort of badge of honor to say you're going to do this. And part of this is, think of what this is. So when you're frying fries in a fast food restaurant, one of the issues is you're using that oil all day long. You've filled up the deep fat fryer. You're not frying one thing of French fries and then dumping it out and refilling it with a new fresh one. You're just frying it again and again and again and again and again in that oil. And that should never be the starting point of a healthy diet, French fries. So let's set that one aside. But it is funny that people are doing that. Oh, wait, I forgot one other fun fact. So it's actually, they got outed for seeing that their supplier of the French fry pre-fries them in vegetable and seed oils and then sends them to Steak Shack. And then they re-deep fry them in beef tallow before they hand them out to their customers. So they're pretty proud of their beef tallow, but they're not saying they're actually still pre-fried in vegetable and seed oils. But I don't, let's not get stuck in that rabbit hole.
Yeah, but again, the operative words here are deep fried, don't you think?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. And like if you go to Iowa, you can get deep fried butter stick mm-hmm. at the fair.
Sure.
And I don't think deep frying butter in seed oils or beef tallow will matter.
Make it's a still big a difference, no. Mm-hmm.
Stick of butter. Okay.
So go ahead.
So let's move on to the next thing in this whole story, Tommy. And that is omega-3 versus omega-6. And that is, I think people are using the word seed oils because they figure some heads will blow up if you get into omega-6 and omega-3s. Mm-hmm. But I do think that's the heart of the matter. And the word that comes up is inflammation.
Okay.
So in the world of health these days, inflammation is a pretty hot topic. Inflammatory. I know we have inflammatory words, but there's actually inflammatory processes that happen in your body. Mm-hmm. And something to remember up front is that while inflammation sounds like something you don't want to have around for a long time, the inflammatory response that your body has to some kind of injury is actually part of your whole health system. If you have something dangerous in you, if you cut yourself and have a wound, you actually have this very beneficial inflammatory response. In the world of medicine, there's a whole inflammatory cascade of molecules that get released that race to the site of injury, and your body is going to look red and it's going to be painful for a while until it heals. Like that inflammatory process is really important for you to heal when it's an acute situation, when it's happened right away,
akin to
address it.
Akin to the warning light on your dashboard when you turn the key on?
Yeah, okay. Something like that.
Right.
So, and when you have a fever, I mean, nobody likes to have a fever. Do you know what a fever is doing? It's killing you, raises your body temperature to kill off stuff that's hurting you. And in the long run, you'll recover and you'll live because of your inflammatory response. So chronic inflammation, if people are chronically have this modestly elevated level of inflammation in their body, that's not good for you, but there is a place for inflammation being healthy in your body. And like a lot of other things, Tommy, it's a balance. I'm going to bring up blood sugar just for a minute here because I think it's relevant. Mm-hmm. Maybe you and most of your listeners will recognize that there's two bad conditions for blood sugar. One is your blood sugar being too high and one is being too low. Your body spends a whole lot of time making sure your blood sugar is in the middle, not too high and not too low. And that's where inflammation should be. It should be ready to respond and not too high, but not too low, because that could also be bad for you. And so some of these fats that we eat have a role in inflammation. And for the most part, the fat we eat, Tommy, is just for energy. Almost all the fat we eat is like fuel in our body. Glucose and sugars and fats are mostly just fuel. But there's a couple of the fats that we eat, and among them are these seed oils, where a small portion of them can be used to regulate part of our metabolism. And so two of these families are called omega-6s and omega-3s. And anybody who's into nutrition has probably heard both of those terms. I'm sure you have, right?
I have, yeah.
Do you have any preconceived notion about what is good or bad or omega-6?
I thought one of them might be good, one of them might be bad, but I don't know.
So, and first of all, let me tell you, let me describe what they are.
Okay.
So all FAPs are long chains of carbons, one after the other. And some of the butter fats are only 4 carbons, and some of the fish fats are 26 carbons. Mm-hmm. And the way your body works for energy is it takes however many carbons it has, and it breaks off pairs of them, 2 at a time, and it generates, if you remember from high school, ATP, this energy unit that you use to fuel everything in your body. And it starts with 2 carbons at a time from fat, or 2 carbons at a time from sugar. So anyway, we have these fats in our diet that go into our mouth, and we digest and absorb them. And they're either 4 carbons or anything up to 26 carbons. Most of them happen to be 16 or 18 carbons long. Mm-hmm. That's the most common type of fat we eat. And 2 of the particular ones that we eat, and you just stop me if I go too far down the rabbit hole, are linoleic and linolenic acid. And they only differ by 1 letter. Both of them have 18 carbons. Both of them have more than 1 double bond in them. And double bond means that they're unsaturated fats, which most people have heard of. And a fun thing about unsaturated fat versus saturated fat is when these long chains of carbons have a double bond in them, it makes them bend. If they don't have a double bond, they're absolutely straight and they're saturated. And when they're straight and saturated, they can actually line up one on top of the other in such a way that they're solid at room temperature. Butter, mm-hmm. solid at room temperature. Beef tallow, solid at room temperature. Lard, solid at room temperature. So is coconut oil. And palm oil, those tropical plant oils, are also mostly saturated and solid at room temperature. But the reason these other things we're talking about, seed oils, are oils and liquid at room temperature, is that these are fats that have double bonds, they're unsaturated, they bend, these carbon chains bend, and because they're bent, they don't line up right on top of each other, and their melting point is different. And so you can pour them into your salad dressing. You can pour them into your pan to saute something or stir fry something. They are oil. They are liquid at room temperatures, and all restaurants have them. I'm pretty sure all your listeners have some kind of cooking oil mm-hmm. at home. And so these omega-6s and omega-3s are pretty fun because they help regulate metabolism. And this is really way too much to get into for the show, but there's these long pathways where when your body is ready and needs them and calls on them for metabolism, they go through these changes. And after going through these changes, the omega-6s, whose last double bond in the chain of carbons is 6 back from the end, and the omega-3s, the last double bond, is 3 carbons back from the end. That's how they get their name. The omega-6s and omega-3s are both long chains of carbon with more than 1 double bond, and the reason they have their name is the position of one of their double bonds at the end. And while that's more than you and your listeners need to know, the kind of cool thing is if you need to use one of these fats for metabolism and you happen to have an omega-3 on hand, it's a little more leaning toward vasodilation than vasoconstriction. And that just means your blood vessels are narrowing or widening. So omega-3s tend to be sort of vasodilating or blood thinning. And so some people take omega-3 fats or fish oil fats because they have heart disease and they want their arteries in their veins to be more open than closed. To be honest, those omega-3 fish oil pills don't work very much, according to science. But there's a plausible mechanism where that works. And the omega-3s are pretty good at lowering triglycerides. And the omega-3s have a couple of factors that make them sort of more cool than omega-6s in many situations. But here's where the social influencers are getting it wrong, Tommy, mm-hmm. is because you can use an omega-6 or omega-3 for the same thing, and because omega-3s are a little bit cooler than omega-6s in many of these aspects, somebody's flipped it to say, oh my God, the omega-6s are killing you. They are pro-inflammatory, they're pro-blood coagulant, They're raising your blood pressure. They're doing all the opposites of omega-3s. And that part's wrong.
We got to take a break here, Doctor. We'll pick it up when we come back. But let me tell you something. I mean this with all due respect.
Okay.
I wanted you to go down that rabbit hole. I wanted you to glaze our eyes over because... let me explain why. And I mean this with all due respect.
Okay.
Because I want people to realize that what you just explained is just a superficial explanation of the way it works. So to think that you can go onto a Facebook post or read something from a social media influencer and think that you understand it, you understand the point I'm trying to make?
Thank you. I totally appreciate that, and I feel respected.
It sincerely, yeah. We'll take a break, pick it up, we come back. One other thing I want to talk about before we do run out of time is, since you mentioned sugar, it just seems like, you know, we talk about seed oil or we talk about vaccines or whatever it is. Meanwhile, sugar is destroying lives in this country and killing people left and right, and nobody says anything about that at all. We'll take a break, pick it up, we come back. WWL Traffic now. 9:50, 10 till 10. Doc, we only got about 2 minutes left. Christopher Gardner, professor of medicine, nutrition scientist at Stanford University, trying to debunk these myths about the Hateful Eight when it comes to vegetable oil. And if you missed any of it, you can download the Odyssey app or go to WWL.com, click on my name, you'll find the audio posted. I do want to spend a minute or two, and you can come back and talk about seed oil some more. We'd love to have you. But about sugar, and you know, I had a professor of biology at graduated from college, UNO, years ago, tried to explain why if you wanted to lose weight, you really had to cut sugar out of your diet, and I didn't understand it. Now I do. Explain, if you will, for a minute about the dangers of sugar and processed food and what people need to look for and how almost impossible it is to take in too much sugar and lose weight.
Yeah, so great way to wrap up is seed oils pale completely in comparison to so much sugar. Like 20 different names for sugar. Everybody likes sugar. It tastes good. The food industry is putting it in everything that we're eating. It isn't satiating. So when you have it, you get calories, but you're not full, and you still want more calories. Mm-hmm. So that's a big, much bigger issue than seed oils, Tommy. You're right. So you got to look for it. It's got a lot of different names, but look at that nutrition fact panel, which got updated recently on packaged foods, and it not only tells you how much sugar, but how much added sugar. So look at that added sugar line, because fruit sugar is okay. Added sugar is not. Can we do seed oils for another minute?
Sure.
Okay, so let's wrap this up at the end of the day. If you go back 50, 60, 70 years, there's all kinds of studies that were done, mostly about LDL cholesterol for heart disease, showing that anytime you swap out butter, beef tallow, or lard for any seed oil, sesame seed, corn seed, rapeseed, it always lowers your LDL cholesterol. So the American Heart published something in 2009 and again in 2017. And if you look at all the data, switching out those saturated fats, those animal fats, for any kind of seed oil, omega-6 or omega-3 is better for you. The science is there all over the place. But really, let's bring it back to what people are eating. When they're eating ultra-processed, crappy foods in the store that's junk food, there's seed oils in them. If you want to now avoid those because of the seed oils, great. That'll help you because it had a lot of sugar in it too. But we told you it had sugar before and you're still eating it. I don't know that seed oils is going to have you stop eating it. What I don't want you to do, Tommy, I don't want to stop having salads where you made a salad dressing that had sunflower or safflower oil in it because it was less expensive than olive oil. I don't want you to stop having a healthy stir fry that you made at home and you cooked it in a vegetable oil because it was less expensive. I don't want you to swap out and now cook with butter and lard and beef tallow because of this big debate. If you wanted to switch that seed oil out for avocado or olive oil, I'm all in. That's probably a little bit better for you, but more important than the oil that you're using to cook with is what you're cooking. Are you cooking vegetables? Are you cooking a stir fry? Are you making a salad? Those are all great for you, but if you're using it at home to deep fry crap in it. So it's a lot of what you eat it with, and mostly what we're eating. We're not drinking the oil, Tommy. Cooking stuff with it. So pay attention to what you're cooking with it.
Doctor, I hope you come back. I really honestly do, because, you know, it's all about science and the truth and not just jumping to a silly conclusion. How long did you go to school, Doc? Just out of curiosity.
Oh, you know, four or 5 years of doctorate work and all that college.
Yeah. So you're right. So years and years and years. You didn't just get it from the internet in 5 seconds, did you? Thank you, Christopher Gardner.
No.
And why would you have a salad when you can have some healthy fries from Steak and Shake? Christopher Gardner, professor of medicine and nutrition scientist at Stanford University. We got to go. You can come back. Newell's next. We'll see what he's got coming up when we return.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The Revolution Redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.